Spalding's freight wagons were at Frank's place by 9 o'clock, the men offloading his building materials, including hammer and nails, several saws and axes, one of them a broad axe and another a hand adze.
Mr. Spalding said you can catch him in his office in town sometime and pay him off, Mr. Morgan. We'll see ya. Take it easy. And don't work too hard now.
Frank looked at the huge pile of lumber by the side of the house as the empty freight wagons rattled off down the road.
Of course not.
Frank was no expert carpenter, but he knew the fundamentals of building. He went to work. Frank worked sun up to sundown for the next several weeks, riding into town only twice during that period, once to arrange for a load of hay to be delivered. He built a small barn for the horses, adding it on to the lean-to. He added a room to the cabin, and then built a fence around the cabin, taking in about an acre. The glass for the windows arrived, and Frank installed that. His carpentry work was not expert by any means, but it was functional. Frank recalled and kept in mind what a workman had told him years back: measure twice, cut once. On his second trip into town, Frank picked up a letter posted to him by attorneys representing the Henson Company. Frank sat for a long time digesting the contents of the letter, detailing just how much money he had earned from his stock in the company. It was difficult for him to accept, for it was a staggering amount. Frank was a moderately rich man for the times. He would never again have to worry about money. With 90% of the work done, Frank decided to take a day off and ride into town for supplies. He was running out of essentials. He returned late that afternoon, only to find the charred remains of his cabin. Wolf lay still in the front yard, shot. There was a note nailed to the gate.
Morgan, we burned your shack and killed your damn stupid dog. It's your move. Come get us, you son of a bitch.
It was signed Ned Pine and Vic Van Bergen. Passing by the still form of Wolf, Frank saw one of the animal's back legs twitch. Wolf was still alive.
Hey there, boy.
Frank knelt down and inspected his pet. There was a wound on Wolf's side, and the top of his head was bloody. Frank got his canteen, wet a bandana, and cleaned the head wound. A bullet had creased Wolf's head, leaving a gash and knocking the animal unconscious, but Frank did not think it was serious. Then he looked at the wound in Wolf's side. A bullet must have ricocheted off something, tearing the lead apart. A small piece of lead was embedded in Wolf's side. Frank popped it out with the point of his knife. He picked Wolf up and carried him back to the lean-to, placing him on a pile of hay. Wolf would either come out of his stupor, or he would not. There was nothing else Frank could do. Frank looked at the still smoking, hot embers of what had been his home. All gone now. He walked over to the fireplace, thinking he would dig out his money from the fireplace stones, but they were still too hot. The log cabin probably burned quickly. Frank figured the fire was set no more than a couple of hours ago, maybe less. It would probably be another hour before he could dig out his money. He walked back to check on Wolf. The animal was breathing, but unconscious. Frank unloaded his supplies, stashing them in the new addition to the lean-to, then stabled his horses. He could spend the night in the small new addition. It would be cold, but nothing new to him. He got a shovel and dug a hole in the ground in the center of the barn, lining the outside area of the hole with rocks, then built a small fire. It would knock the chill off and keep a man warm if he stayed close enough to the fire. Frank knelt down beside the animal.
Well, old boy, glad to see you alive. You just lay still for a time, you'll be all right.
Wolf licked his hand and Frank carefully petted him.
You want some water, boy? I'll get you some.
Frank found Wolf's outside bowl and filled it with water. Wolf drank half the bowl's contents, then laid his head back down on the hay and closed his eyes.
Rest is good for you, Wolf. I know. I've been shot a few times myself.
Frank found the small coffee pot he used on the trail and started water boiling. He had eaten a good meal in town and wasn't hungry, but he was getting mad. He sat for a time, letting hot anger wash over him. Frank drank a cup of good strong coffee and glanced over at Wolf. The animal was awake and looking at him. Wolf wagged his tail and Frank smiled at him.
I've been told more men have died fighting over God and animals than have been killed fighting over women. I believe it. They shouldn't have shot you, fella. I can rebuild the cabin, but you, that's another story.
Frank leaned back against a support post and sipped his coffee.
I was gonna live and let live, boys. Hunt was gonna end right here, but you boys don't want that. All right, suits me. But you better bear one thing in mind. You started this dance. Now, by God, you better be ready to pay the band.
Frank dozed lightly through the night, awakening often to check on Wolf and to build up the small fire. Come daylight, Wolf was standing up on his own. He was a bit shaky and hobbled around with a limp, but he was going to make it. Frank dug out the stones around the base of the fireplace and retrieved his money. Some of the bills were a bit crispy around the edges, but spendable. Frank found a skillet in the rubble and cleaned it up. Then he sliced some bacon and started it frying. Frank and Wolf had bacon and pan bread for breakfast. After some food, Frank checked Wolf's wounds and cleaned them, applying some antiseptic, which Wolf did not like at all, showing his teeth in protest, but he made no attempt to bite Frank. Frank lounged around the ruins of his cabin for several days. When he was sure Wolf was well on the way to healing, Frank packed up. He fixed Wolf a place to ride on one side of the pack saddle, and on a cold, frosty morning, pulled out. He headed first into the mining camp and bought supplies and new clothing. Then he had a bath and shave and haircut.
You ready to hit the trail, boy?
Wolf rested in his perch on the pack saddle.
Let's do it then.
In the saddle, Frank glanced across the street. His son, Conrad, was standing in front of a tent cafe, looking at him. Frank smiled and lifted a hand in greeting. His son nodded his head curtly and without expression, then turned and walked away, his bodyguards with him. The coldness of the young man neither surprised nor upset Frank. Conrad did not like his father and never made any attempt to hide his feelings. Frank lifted the reins and rode on out of the mining camp. He did not look back. Frank also had a hunch Conrad would haul his ashes out for a warmer climb before icy winter locked up everything. Frank had received word on the way to Denver the Pine and Van Bergen gangs would not winter in the deep Rockies. It was too damn cold, and the gangs ran the risk of getting snowed in and trapped. Frank did not know whether or not to believe it, but without a warm place to hole up, he had no desire to stay in the middle of the high country when the temperature dropped to 30 below zero. Frank headed southwest. He had a hunch, and he often played out his hunches. Besides, Frank had learned the southwest part of Colorado Territory was Pine's old stomping grounds. He had kin down there. Ned wasn't born there, but came to that part of the territory when he was run out of wherever the hell he did come from. The stories about that were many and varied. The stories about Vic were also many and varied. No one really knew what to believe about either of the gang leaders, except that they were both vicious killers without a shred of morals or conscience. The area around Durango held more than its share of producing gold and silver mines. With a lot of money floating around, it was a good place for the gangs to winter. Though, Frank knew, the winters down there could be tough as well. He was in no hurry, stopping often to check his back trail, to let Wolf limp around, stretch his legs, and tend to business. Wolf was healing fast and putting on weight, each day spending more time on the ground and less time riding the pack animal. Frank was astonished at the number of people he saw on his way south. The country was filling up fast and settling. Indian trouble was, for the most part, over. Occasionally, a band of young bucks jumped the reservation and caused some trouble, but it happened less and less as more settlers moved in. Frank spent a lot of time wondering why Pine and Van Bergen would do such a stupid thing as hunt him down and burn him out, then leave a direct challenge for him to come get them.
I reckon, Wolf, they're just plain arrogant.